Good morning, everyone, and welcome to, I think it's our 33rd Science of Triangles broadcast, something like that. I think so, yeah. 33rd, yes, okay. And we are still working through this huge section in esoteric astrology, where he specifically deals with the science of triangles. Of course, from another perspective, maybe the really important thing is that we pay attention to the doing of the triangles work in all of its simplicity. Tonight at 6 p.m., Tuya will be leading the normal Science of Triangles broadcast, this is the Science of Triangles. And then at 8 p.m. GMT, I'm going to have a solar fire broadcast with the music of the Pisces ritual, solar fire ritual, because it is the new moon. I mean, the new moon is happening today. So we're making a little experiment to see whether we will do the solar fire ritual broadcasts on the new moon. We'll see. But anyway, that should be available at our normal broadcast link, because there's music involved and we have to use the broadcast link whenever that is the case. And I'll tell you what, let's just have a little alignment here while maybe a few folks gather. When we do it at this hour, of course, the United States is mostly asleep. And when it comes to South America, I think very much so, unless a very deliberate effort is made to join us at 3 or 4 in the morning. So, the idea is that we are relating to each other in consciousness wherever our geographical area may be. And we are presenting invocation in consciousness together, and hoping that the wisdom of the soul and triad are evoked to bring us greater understanding of the cosmic environmental context in which we live. When we look out at the sky at night, we see all these heavenly bodies, each one of them ensouled by a lord of intelligence, love, and will, and all of them organized in a great cosmic network of triangles. This has to do with planets and with stars and with even greater structures, constellations organized in triangles. So that's the thing we keep in the back of our mind as we study this science of triangles. We're living in a huge cosmic environment. The practical side of it is that we learn how to relate to each other as souls or as soul-infused personalities triangularly, and we help the etheric body of the planet and of humanity carry the soul. The scientific part of it, the more expansive part of it, is that the everything we know about the universe is organized in this way. And we are part of that organization, and that organization, as it applies to Earth, has a lot to do with the successful manifestation of the divine plan. And that's something we want all of us to participate in, according to our capabilities and scope. And so it's a work that must go on, and we'll, you know, carry on with that a little later in another, you know, 12 hours or so with the actual broadcast on Wednesday. Wednesday is actually a good day to work the triangles because it's a Mercury day, and Mercury links everything up. Mercury may have a fourth ray soul, but the third ray is very deep in the expression of Mercury. And the triangles, a three-sided figure, related very much to the third or atmic plane, has to do with the third ray. So we'll try, you know, we're looking towards many relationships, and we try to keep our mind open so that we can begin to fathom some of these connections. It's all about the science of relationships, which I think is a really fundamental science, and part of that is the science of triangles. These are occult sciences. They come under Uranus, which is the higher octave of Mercury. Uranus is ruling occult mind. So we, as we study these things, we kind of get our Uranian and Mercurian beams going and learn about the context in which we live. Well, we see a map in front of us here of a really big picture, you know. And it's such a big picture that it's way, way beyond our aspirations to attain spiritually in this life and in many lives to come. But this big picture is just a drop in the bucket when you look at the more universal situation. All right, well, a few more have gathered here, so I'd just like to welcome you to our work. Annette, Antoinette, Catherine, Christopher, George, Gretchen, Karen, Carrie, Lona, Mariana, Marissa, Martha, Nessa, Nienke, Tuya is here with me, and Veronique, Zenaide, and we did have Anne Veronica here earlier, but something didn't go right with the computer, apparently. And Michael Stacy is helping me over on the right-hand side, and I'll put Tuya there also. All right. So let's go on now. We have readings to do, and I kind of looked over these readings, and I guess as we're carrying these things forward, the main thing to think about is, in a way, connectivity. Connectivity. Everything is connected to everything else. And while it looks, excuse me, like a very complicated web of relationships, and to a degree it is, one day intuitively, under what we call the pure reason, it will all snap into place, and we will see exactly the why and the wherefore that governs this great science of relationships, from which the science of triangles is derived. So no entity in cosmos liveth to itself alone, and truly, everything is really related to everything else. And it's these relations that we're trying to understand. I mean, I think maybe that's why DK said that the fourth ray, maybe fourth ray mind even, was such an important energy within his work, because he's trying to help his students understand the divine pattern of all these relationships. So in a way, Mercury on the fourth ray turns into Jupiter, the wholeness of vision, on the second ray. Jupiter will one day be the destiny of humanity, but right now it's very Mercurian. So, you know, we'll just wade in here and do our best. None of the material is easy, but if we remain open to the way these relationships and connections are formed, we will begin to develop a more sophisticated view of our planet, our solar system, our local cosmos, and even the wider cosmos. And so we will know much more the context in which we live. So here we go, page 454. I never know how far we're going to get, but okay, this is, let's give it a try. In the first volume of this treatise, I guess this third of the treatise, in the overall treatise on the seven rays, the esoteric astrology, certain hints were given, or could have been also esoteric psychology, because it's a five-part treatise. Certain hints were given anent the planetary centers and the rays of energy pouring through them. Now, by the planetary centers, one of the things we can mean is the continents. And there are certain cities which are considered planetary centers. New York, planetarily bringing through the sixth ray. London, planetarily, the first ray, from the more constructive aspect. Geneva, planetarily, the second ray of love wisdom. And Darjeeling, the first ray, from the very occult perspective. And finally, Tokyo, the first ray, from the materialistic perspective. Now, each one of these cities, and because I have to be careful, because the word siddhi sounds like power, a power. And when I say the word city, it means that location within a country, you know, like New York City and so forth. They each have their own rays. Like New York, for instance, although it's a sixth ray center planetarily, it has the second and third ray. And London, although it's a first ray center planetarily from the constructive aspect with a lot of Vulcan in it, the city itself is ruled by the fifth and seventh ray, naming the soul ray first. And I think Geneva, it's a great second ray center planetarily, but it's ruled by the first and second ray in terms of the city. And here is Tokyo, and it's a first ray center from the planetary perspective, but the city itself is ruled by the sixth ray and fourth ray. And finally, we get to Darjeeling, which they call it Moria's town, you know. It is, its rays as a city are the second ray and the fifth ray. So right away, you see triangles, don't you? You see that there's a planetary point for each one of these centers, but then the city point itself, soul and personality, and so a triangle is created with the planetary ray and the two city rays. And each one of those, you know, could be examined, and we would see that it is productive of a triangular effect. New York is focusing much of the idealism of humanity, but at the same time, it's an active communication center on the third ray personality, and so much money is handled through New York, which is a third ray action. But ultimately, the love, wisdom, energy in terms of the city, it is a melting pot, and the United Nations is founded there. So we can kind of see how the sixth, the second, and the third ray fit together, and you could do that with each one of these planetary inlets. So I'm just offering a method without necessarily going into every particular one of those planetary centers. I think we'll get there as we go along, but at least you see how the triangle works. Okay, now, so certain hints about planetary centers and the rays and energy pouring through them. To these, I would like here to refer because they are related to the science of triangles. What is science? After all, you know, it's a method from one point of view whereby we ascertain definite and reliable knowledge, but it's also a way of manipulating that knowledge to good effect. In other words, using the laws, using the relationships to achieve that which the divine plan must achieve. So you should note that the three lower kingdoms in nature constitute in themselves a triangle of force and are essentially a reflection of a particular planetary triangle. I've made a speculation on this. So he's basically saying that the animal kingdom, the mineral kingdom, and the vegetable kingdom, of course, the mineral kingdom is the lowest, and the vegetable kingdom is intermediate, and the animal kingdom is the highest in that particular triangle, that these are related to a solar systemic triangle. Now, you could probably guess what it is, but this is my proposition. I think it's correct that Vulcan is very related to the mineral kingdom and to all things hard and to the will and to a great power that can be released through the mineral kingdom. And it's a sacred planet. Venus is peculiarly related to the vegetable kingdom, which has two rays in connection with it. Three rays. The mineral kingdom has two rays, I think the first and the seventh, and the vegetable kingdom is the most advanced relatively of the kingdoms and has rays 2, 4, and 6. Well, to give you an idea, if we look at a flower, the stalk of the flower and the support, that which rises up towards the sun, that's the sixth ray. And, you know, it follows the sun, devotedly, we might say. The color of the flower correlates with the fourth ray, and the fragrance of the flower, more subtle, correlates with the second ray. Then, naturally, a non-sacred planet would be involved with the next kingdom. It's the animal kingdom, and it's particularly Mars. Different rays come in here, and we'll see how the third ray, the fifth ray, and also the sixth ray of Mars are connected. But I think, you know, it's largely three and six, and for the domesticated animals, they begin to come under the fifth ray because they're really going to learn something from humanity. So there are your three lower kingdoms, and a triangle within our solar system. Now just visualize that for a minute. Vulcan, very close to the sun. Venus, beyond, coming beyond Mercury and towards the Earth. And then Mars on the other side of the Earth. So Earth is the intermediate orbit between Mars and Venus. So those three planets are connected with the lower three kingdoms. Now, we have some higher kingdoms as well. He's not dealing with that here, and we could speculate upon them, but, you know, we have the kingdom of souls, the kingdom of planetary lives, and the kingdom of solar lives. And let's just say that in all of, I think I'm not going to offer a speculation on that. I could get into it, but Venus will be involved and Jupiter will be involved. And when it comes to the kingdom of solar lives, well, the sun is the obvious factor. But we don't need to do that. The principle is what is clear, that when we have something which is microcosmic, look to the higher levels of the planet, look to the solar system, look even beyond toward the zodiac and our local cosmos for a higher corresponding triangle. See, you begin to think, this is the thing, you begin to think in an analogical mode so that you can relate different levels, which maybe have the same number of factors in more or less the same relationship. We have the law of analogy and the still more precise law of correspondences to guide us here. Okay, so it might be of service, he says, if I here briefly tabulated for you certain of these major inferences, for they are little more than inferences at this time, especially for us. In other words, we can imagine, we can infer, we can guess what are the connections, but unless he confirms them, we don't know. One point of real interest here is of real interest here. Now, note this carefully because it's variable. I have stated that humanity is the correspondence in the planetary life to the Ajna center in individual man. Now, he said that, but he's also said that it corresponds to the throat center, and in a little bit, we're going to read that it once corresponded to the solar plexus center. So the different centers change their location, and they change their function. Humanity is a great center. Now, sometimes we might be dealing with the Lord of the World, or Sanat Kumara, and at other times we might be dealing with the entire planetary logos. So that can make a difference in the function of a particular center like humanity. So at the moment, he places it in connection with the Ajna center. But we cannot forget that we are dealing with two great beings, one of them the planetary Logos, and one of them the Lord of the World, or Sanat Kumara. And so maybe they have different functions, either on for the throat or the Ajna. Let's just say more advanced humanity is moving up, and you know we should be in that place where we are intermediate between normal humanity and the hierarchy, because we are members of the new group of world service. And there's another triangle for you, is it not? Just pause for a moment and think of the relationship between the hierarchy, representing the heart center, the new group of world servers representing the guiding Ajna center of the Lord of the World, and normal humanity representing the throat center. So this would be a loving and heartfelt guiding intelligence. See, in other words, when humanity is left to its own, unguided by the new group of world servers at the Ajna Center, it will very likely go astray, and the great teaching of hierarchy will not reach it. But if the triangle is really functioning, then humanity's intelligence is rightly oriented, intelligence throat center is rightly oriented because of the guidance of the new group of world servers, and therefore can bring through into expression the love, wisdom, energy of hierarchy, and not otherwise. So you see how that triangle works. So basically what I'm saying, you know, keep your eyes open for triangles which suggest themselves, and then, whether it's right or wrong, offer an interpretation of the function of that triangle. See, a major triangle, obviously, is head, heart, and throat, on rays 1, 2, and 3. And they represent mostly Shambhala, hierarchy, and humanity. Well, you know, what's the relationship there? The divine will, expressed in love, intelligently upon the lower planes where humanity thrives. So that's a very definite triangle of Shambhala, heart, and throat. So, you know, sometimes when you are functioning as a human being, and you're doing so, you know, deliberately, and you're doing something good, and you are thinking about where your life focus usually is, your life focus will be predominantly in one particular triangle, of which there are many, in your etheric body. And the relationship between your mind, emotions, and etheric physical nature, another triangle, will be expressed through an etheric triangle, and you have to identify that. Now, you know, I think ideally, at this time, people like ourselves should be expressing through the throat, the Ajna, and the heart. That is a given. We have to direct our intelligent life in a heartfelt manner so that we really foster love in the human race. But we're also studying the will, the meaning of the will. And so as we move along, the head centers are going to be involved, along with the heart, and either the Ajna or the throat center. So, you know, sort of be aware as you live your life, from where are you working? Are you working above the diaphragm, partially, fully? Are centers below the diaphragm active and interrupting in a way? because many of us can be interrupted by the by what goes on in the solar plexus. It's a given. That is the astral body is the area within our nature most often out of alignment. And that's one of the things we really have to take care of. But the science of triangles will point to how to balance these different energies. So anyway, humanity is sometimes connected with the Ajna Center, sometimes a bit earlier connected with the throat center, and later it will be connected with the heart center. Now, I'll just read this. I pulled it out, and actually I had it in there before. This is from Rays and the Initiations, page 338. The Ajna Center of the Lord of the World, and you know, that's another name for Sanat Kumara, right, who is an emanation of the planetary logos. The Ajna Center of the Lord of the World is just beginning to express itself in a recognizable manner through the new group of world servers. This intermediate group between hierarchy and humanity, think of it now, is a carrier of the energy which makes the plan possible, the plan of which the hierarchy is the custodian. So let's just say it's a higher form of humanity, I think, which serves as the Ajna Center of the Lord of the World. Usually we might say it is the throat center, which is normal humanity's area of expression. Anyway, this plan implements the purpose, and later when the new group of world servers is organized and is recognized as a living organism, which before long it will be, maybe it is to an extent, it will definitely receive the energy from Shambhala in a direct reception via hierarchy. So we will have then the head, the heart, and the Ajna Center. Makes sense, right? Because Shambhala is the head center in this triangle, the heart is the hierarchy, and the new group of world servers is the Ajna Center. Now, one of the things we have to look at here is the astrology of Shambhala and the astrology of the new group of world servers. They both have a very prominent Taurus. You know, somehow Shambhala is reached most directly at this time at the Waysak, where Taurus is prominent. And what sign rules the new group of world servers? It is Taurus again. So there's going to be a direct impact between Shambhala and the new group of world servers. And then he goes on to say, you know, something kind of reassuring. This information is, I realize, of little immediate importance to you, but towards the end of the century, it will be found explanatory of much. Well, we have reached the end of the century, and we have gone on into the next century, and what has been explained? You know, probably the Shambhala impact of the year 2000 would be something we would have to begin looking into. Okay, so, you know, I hope you're following this. You know, make notes as you go along. A certain amount of memorization will be required of us, no question about it, in order to start connecting up these energies in the science of relations and then its derivative, the science of triangles. We could probably also have a science of squares, a science of five-pointed stars, a science of six-pointed stars, you know, all of these fundamental geometrical relationships have a meaning within the great science of relations. Okay, going on. A little bit anyway. Earlier, I told you that the fifth ray of concrete knowledge is related to the Ajna Center. And, you know, if you follow this, basically you go to Esoteric Astrology, page 517, and we will see that sure enough, the Ajna Center has the presence of Venus and the fifth ray for the average man, and it's exactly the same for disciples and initiates. But I would, here it is, fifth ray and Venus. So the Ajna Center, that beam of light, that searchlight, that horn of the unicorn, as it were, this is something that we use when we are using the Ajna Center. We use the fifth ray and the beam of dissipating light, clarifying our way so that truth may demonstrate. Now remember the fifth ray relationship to truth. It is a truthful ray. It doesn't believe in complication and obfuscation and misleading and all those problems connected with the third ray, on the lower turn of the spiral, of course. But I just want to say this, that there comes a time, I haven't quite determined exactly when it is, but it's in the initiatory process, when the Ajna Center is ruled by Mercury and not by Venus. And it's a higher moment and relates to the spiritual triad. So the fourth ray kind of takes over there at the Ajna Center via the soul ray of Mercury. And at that same time, we will have Uranus and the seventh ray operating at the throat center. So, you know, there's a great science called, I think, what we can call it, the science of mutation. There is intelligent change or mutation going on all the time. And when we say, what is a thing and what are its relationships, we have to specify the time at which we are asking that question, because mutation will have occurred, and at a different time, any particular center, chakra, source will represent something different than it did before. So DK said a very interesting thing. He said, look, you think I'm contradicting myself, but I'm not. And if you solve the issue of the time when I said this and when I said that, you will see that there is no contradiction. So when we're talking about relationships, we really have to say, when is this occurring? So earlier he said the fifth ray of knowledge is related to the Ajna. Now he starts, page 454. I'm going to go there and show you what it looks like without the interruption of all of my notes. And, here it is, you see. This is what it's going to look like. Head center, heart center, Ajna center, throat center, solar plexus, sacral with the devas, base of the spine. And he's going to give us quite a number of correspondences. It's not that these correspondences are the only ones he gives us. Sometimes he will say something different and we'll be confused. How can he say the base of the spine center is ruled by the first ray? Now he's saying it's ruled by the fourth ray. What about the seventh ray? Why should Mars be there, Mercury be there, and the Earth be there? When are they active? at the base of the spine center because they're all connected. You see, those are the kinds of questions that as we pursue the science of occultism in detail, we're going to want to know about. And the only way to do that is really think, really ponder, really be patient with ourselves. All these things will appear in time. Now, I'm going to maybe read just one of these. We'll have in our next work together several. But just to give an idea, okay, so humanity is called in this context the planetary Ajna Center, and it's connected with the fifth ray of knowledge, which is not necessarily the fifth ray of intelligence. Sometimes the word intelligence is used in connection with the third ray, and sometimes knowledge or mind with the fifth ray. Note that humanity was very busy earlier than the fifth root race. It was a kingdom, and probably at that time, it was not so much the Aryan fifth ray which ruled the Ajna Center. I mean, in other words, that humanity was not correlated with the Ajna Center of the planetary logos, let us say, but more correlated with the throat center and the third ray ruled by the earth. Now, if I was to make a suggestion, and I often do, I would say this, that in order to get a foundation here, do go to esoteric astrology and do go to page 517 and do memorize which planets and rays rule which centers. I think you can see that here. And only two of them are the same, Uranus and Venus. But everything else changes. For average man, the ray probably doesn't change so much, but the planet changes. So get this particular tabulation under your belt, so to speak, so that you can always refer to it and it will be in your mind, because it is foundational when you think about how and when the chakras in our system develop. You know, now, do you feel that Vulcan somehow rules your head center and not Pluto? Well, okay, at a certain stage of evolution, it is so. But when does Uranus rule your head center? Which it does. Now, when you look at your throat center, is the earth producing an abundance of forms, the ruler there, or is strict, logical, cautious Saturn the ruler of your throat center? What about that non-sacred planet that the sun veils as the ruler of the heart center? Or is it Jupiter, the great planet of love, wisdom, with all of its expansiveness and generosity, that is ruling your heart center? And is your solar plexus center full of fire, or does it have the subtlety of Neptune, longing for a higher state? And the other two are the same. Okay, Pluto is the same in terms of the base of the spine. But look, there are just certain things, there's no way around it. They have to be part of our memory. The third ray is the Lord of memory, and we are involved to a certain extent in a third ray study here with the science of triangles, and certainly astrology is a third ray study. And all of this is the third ray as a subset of the second ray. Now we just have to do the hard work of getting these things into our minds so that we can manipulate them more easily and see the connections more easily and don't always have to be running somewhere to find the reference. Okay? I know it's not so appealing for some types to do the memorization work, but I've got to tell you, it really is going to help. So anyway, let's just say at a certain point, humanity reaches its connection with the Ajna Center. Maybe for the Lord of the World, it is a throat center, and the new group of world servers is the Ajna Center extracted out of humanity. So we need to put those down side by side. Here is the planetary logos. Here is its extension called Sanat Kumara, and the different kingdoms represent kind of different chakra points in each of these lists. And then I read this to you before. The Ajna Center is just beginning to express. He says, therefore, five centers in man are rapidly awakening. Well, after all, there's a correlation here, a numerical correlation. We're in the fifth root race. So it would make sense that five centers are rapidly awakening. And maybe, if we went back to the non-individualized state of man before the middle of the Lemurian period, we would find that the Adamic race had only one center, rapidly, really functioning, the Hyperborean two centers, and the Lemurian three centers, and then individualization would come, that Atlantis would focus on four centers and Aryan humanity for the past million years or so, and maybe a bit more, will have five centers rapidly awakening. So which would they be? Now, therefore, five centers in man are rapidly awakening, and of course, all those triangles between them, when you turn to page 170 and 169, in where is it? Yes, it's in A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, and we have related and gone to those places before. But the sacral center, we are told, is subsiding. Okay, and actually, it's really sending its energy to the solar plexus, and a lot of the kind of crime I mentioned associated with the sacral center will be disappearing, and he gives a certain percentage when the energy has risen to the solar plexus center. And then the base of the spine center is not yet active. So I think we can see the five, can't we? We have the head center, the ajna, the throat, the heart, and the solar plexus. The two lowest centers are either fading or not yet activated. It says these relationships prove each other, but only when seen in relation to the greater cycle. Now, what is a greater cycle? That he blinds our knowledge by using such vague terms. It could be a round, but I don't think so. It could be the duration of a root race, which is more likely. And then, of course, there's all kinds of greater cycles. So when DK is busy with the business of blinding our eyes, unless we really have the intuition, we have to recognize this activity. And I would just say, could it be around? And I'll just say, probably not. Humanity now, take a look here. Humanity was at one time the correspondence to the planetary solar plexus. That's what I mean by a chakra changing position. See, humanity was long ago. It had to have been in this fourth round, of course, and maybe it was more when humanity was emotional or something of that nature, or emerging from the animal kingdom. It had a non-thinking position. It wasn't a throat, it wasn't an ajna, it was a solar plexus. And it had to have been in the fourth round because we had no humanity in our chain until that fourth round. And someday, now notice how this works. What shall I call this? A chakric relativity or something like that? In other words, the centers, like planets, have a different function depending on what day in time we're talking about. And here he's talking about sometime in the future. So humanity obviously had quite a six-ray function earlier, and someday will shift the focus of its receptivity to the planetary heart center. That means that humanity will be absorbed into the hierarchy, and hierarchy will then move on. It's very interesting, this law of mutation, and there will come a time when that which is now humanity has a second ray soul and a fourth ray personality. Right now, humanity has most probably, I think, a fourth ray soul and a fifth ray personality. And if we go farther enough back, we can say, was there ever any personality anyway at the time when humanity represented the solar plexus center? It's more like animal man, going back to that period, but still in this round. So we're not yet, humanity is not yet really conditioned by the second ray of love wisdom, but one day it will be, and that will be the soul ray. And when that takes place, now notice this, the relativity of position of the different centers. When humanity moves into the planetary heart center, then that group which now occupies the planetary heart center, the hierarchy, will shift its focus of receptivity into the sphere of Shambhala. So that which is the heart, focused in the heart now, will be focused in the head. It will change its position. Now, what will that, and then he says something very interesting, and then beyond that, I don't think I'm going to say anything. I'm saying that this is already in process as the members of the hierarchy are striving to be members of Shambhala and undergo greater Shambhalic receptivity. But then he says something really interesting, and he says that of this, the presence of the 12-petaled lotus in the highest head center, the relating point between the heart and the soul on its own plane, is the guarantee. Now, you know, hierarchy is 12-fold. It's a heart. And right now it's focused in the lower heart center, but there is a heart within the head. And that heart within the head has a symbolic meaning of the shifting of the lower heart center into the realm of Shambhala, that is the shifting of the hierarchy into the realm of Shambhala. Okay, I know it's all, you know, there's a lot of stuff here, but the 12 goes higher. And I guess the thing that I would hope that we all remember is the relativity of the function of a chakra in time. So why don't I put that down as something to remember? And then we won't go any further right now. We should be aware of the relativity of the function of a chakra and then in time, i.e. at different times. So, you know, to give you an example of that, well, here is an example, of course. But one of the interesting examples is in our solar system, what planet is it now that rules the heart center of the solar system? And you know, it's pretty obvious that it's Jupiter, but it won't always be so. One day, Jupiter will take the function of the heart in the head, which is probably taken by Neptune now, and Venus will rise up to the function of the heart center, when it is now probably related to the solar logoic solar plexus. Now, even in an ashram, suppose we were in an ashram, you know, we might be going for coffee in an ashram, and, you know, the higher-ups want some coffee, so you run out and get the coffee for them. You know, I'm joking, of course. But there'll come a time when someone else is going for coffee, and you're the one who will be staying there continuing the discussion. In other words, there's always a mounting of function, an increasing importance of your function, and you rise within any particular context. So just consider the whole solar system, an ashram, and here are these different planets. They mean one thing in the beginning, then at a central point of development, they mean something else, and at a later point of development, they mean still something else. So everything is moving on and up in its function if everything is going correctly. I mean, if all the processes are going correctly, then all these different centers are in time moving up and up and up, and you can, there will just be different triangles connecting them at those different moments. All right. So, you know, I'm sparing myself here because the next thing is, well, we'll just have to deal with it, and we will deal with it next week. So I'm going to go back here, and so this is, I'll bring this down. Excuse me, I just got to do this little bit of housekeeping, otherwise I get totally lost. And so what page are we on finally? So this is the end. From 454 to
455.
Oh, wow. Are we making progress? See how the omniscient one knows. Okay. Thank you, Michael. All right. Now, 454, 455. And today is the 6th of March because there were so few days. 19. And then we'll begin number. And this was number 33, was it, Michael? I think so.
Yes, 33.
Okay, so now 34, academic reading, and we'll start. We are really making progress here. But, you know, if we pay attention, so much of occultism will begin to dawn upon us, and everything being related to everything else, we will benefit by learning more than we thought we would. And this will be the evening schedule and morning for the other ASK programs. Let's just check this, please. Yeah, that's right. Now, before long, well, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. As I say, the conference is coming. And again, I surely invite you to this important third ray conference in which a new version of the PIP will finally be ready, and continuing work on the rays of the monad will be taking place. And then this is in the pre-conference, and then we'll be discussing also the rays of nations. So, you know, it's very interesting that there is no, in terms of what's given, no nation with a third ray soul. None, every other ray, yes, not the third ray. I have a feeling that there are some nations with third ray souls, but they have kind of a somewhat negative effect upon human progress, and that ray will have to change. But anyway, the Tibetan gave us nothing with a third ray soul. Anyway, we'll begin to discuss that in our continuing Advancing Seven Ray seminar. And of course, the esoteric astrology will be there in that seminar. And we have a lot of really good people coming in. Every once in a while, we're lucky enough to get Philip Lindsay, and he will be coming this year. and a very good ray theorist and astrologer from Italy, Antonella Nobilio. She'll be there with us, and she has some very interesting systems. We have a lot to learn. And then, of course, the general conference will present things maybe in a less technical manner, but a more matter-of-fact, embracing manner regarding what has to go on in the world today. And I do hope, from my own perspective, taking advantage of the Third Ray conference to offer some thought from the infinitistic perspective. That means that what little I know of higher math will be thrown in, and I think you'll see its usefulness and how we can develop a philosophical point of view, which basically is based upon the beginninglessness and endlessness of being and its continuity forever. It's philosophy, and I hope to offer it. Well, so in other words, this is all a pitch. Do come to the conference. We have, you know, we start the pre-conference with our ceremonial workshop on Tuesday the 30th, and Tuya will be leading that, and we go on for 12 days. I think it's a great opportunity. Do try to show up. It would be wonderful to see you there. Now, I've talked, and it's time to see whether there are any questions about what has been mentioned here or any thoughts, or whether you just have questions and thoughts about other areas of occultism, which also are an open door for our discussions. So I'm checking your hand. Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just thinking, I have a few things. Can you go to this place where we have this, the five centers developing?
Yeah, let me. Okay. Goodness.
Where it was.
Okay, three. I'll tell you what, it says the word five, doesn't it? It's got to be here somewhere. Michael, if you can help us.
I think it was a little bit lower. Was it not?
Probably. You know, sometimes I put in so many notes, that's a problem. That.
Because I was just here. There's five centers, therefore the five centers in man are rapidly awakening.
Yes, that's it.
These relationships prove each other, but only when seen in relation to the greater cycle.
Okay.
I was just thinking, when we think about humanity and its planetary centers, those five planetary centers, I think that from there we can have some kind of correspondence, what is happening in humanity itself or in man itself. Because he says that this triangle between New York, London, and Geneva, and when we studied their rays, so there is the first ray for London, the second ray for Geneva, and the sixth ray for New York. So these are the more awakened centers.
Uh-huh.
And then Tokyo and Tokyo and
Darjeeling,
they are still in the latent stage.
Yes.
And I have been just wondering why is that? We can reason many reasons, of course, but anyway, that is what he says. And I think that by studying that too, we could find what is happening in man.
I think there's a correspondence. Yeah, I think you're right. That there, you know, in this number five, because it is, after all, it's not yet the fifth round. Okay, it's not yet that, but it is the fifth root race of man. And I think there is a kind of correspondence with the fact that there's only five planetary centers thus far. And maybe in the sixth root race, there will be more, and the seventh root race more. So we can find a connection between what is awakening in the individual human being and what is awakening in the planetary being. But one thing's for sure, in neither one of them is the center at the base of the spine awakening. Not yet.
Yeah. And in that sense, when we study the race, it's in three places, so Darjeeling, Tokyo, London, it is the aspects of the first ray, which is so interesting.
Yes.
So it's different aspects. So when we study London, which is more awakened center, and in London, it is this from the building aspect of the first ray. Mm. How it says that the destruction.
Tokyo is the materialistic side of the first ray. Darjeeling is extremely occult, and London more from the building aspect of the first ray, meaning Vulcan, you know, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
So we can, by studying these rays, we may be having and finding some answers in our chakra system, which kind of way the energies are working and which way the evolution is progressing.
Yes.
So maybe sometimes we should take that as a larger question and study these.
We'll do that at the conference, and then everybody can come and find out what it is at the conference. But here's the thing, you know, New York is a tremendous communications and money center. So it has been associated with the throat center in general of the United States. Geneva has all of this heart energy, so naturally the second ray heart center. Because now what's interesting is the personality ray of New York is the third. Now obviously these cities like people, they're functioning a lot through their personality ray. So there's the third ray in New York, communications, money, the city of Geneva has a second ray personality. And so there's the heart aspect of it. It also has that in a planetary sense. And then when we deal with London, it has a seventh ray personality. And how very interesting about its fifth ray soul in London. I mean, actually, that has been proven out, and they've been at the forefront of many technological discoveries which have really helped. I was reading the other day that without radar, it would have been a very different story in the Battle of Britain. But, you know, Britain held out and really saved the world in a certain sense. And that's all coming from the fifth ray of London, you know, that made that possible. So anyway, London occupies the first ray. It's a big legislating center. First, second, and third ray then in the triangle that you've been talking about. But from a planetary sense, sixth ray, first ray, second ray, you know, so from the city.
And in that sense,
go ahead.
Yeah, sorry.
Go ahead.
No. Finish what you were saying.
From the city sense, it's different than from the planetary center sense of things. That's all I was going to say.
And I think, yes, so these are giving for us hints how these energies are functioning, how they are developing. And when we look all this, what is happening, so when we have in these centers, we have only Geneva, who is the second ray planetary center. So in that sense, we see how the Christ is working, because it's like the only of those centers through which the higher second ray is pouring in. So what is now happening around that idea of uniting Europe, and unification in Europe is very important thing for us to look what countries are now on the edge coming in. Are they allowed to come in, like Turkey and Montenegro? Is there just in few years may be coming in, which has difficulties in the right human relations, and there is a lot of corruption.
Yes.
So this is like that the Christ is facing this. And then when we think about the building aspect of the first ray via London, so via in London, in England at the moment, all these ideas of separating, which from my perspective is not responding to the higher energies of the first ray, which is about the building, trying to build through now what is going on in humanity. And then now in relationship to New York, so we have there the United Nations, the headquarters of the United Nations,
yes,
as in Geneva as well. So all that corruption as well, what's going on there, and how hard countries has to build together to overcome the tendencies of the sixth ray. So it's very interesting to see, and what Trump is doing is relating to the same trauma, how we can activate the five centers in whole planetary center. Then the other thing was coming when we,
go ahead.
Do you want to say something?
But I was just saying, you know, the whole science of statesmanship is based on these relations. I'm not just talking about, I'm not talking only about politics. I'm talking about how nations should interact with each other. It's based upon these rays. Go ahead, dear. Go ahead.
And then the second thing was the realization, and actually that is a question. When we were reading about how in one point humanity is moving to second ray and hierarchical stage. Is it so? Earlier, I was thinking that when we read about the chakras and humanity's hierarchy and Shambhala, it was like for me the idea of that they are spheres or stages. But when we were now reading about that how humanity is moving into the other states, it's like that these all are groups which are moving. So chakra is not the stage, but they are groups which are moving like together.
And they
do
have
you understand
different,
what I try
well,
to
the group it has a different function when it moves. It expresses a different ray energy when it moves. So humanity now, it used to express the sixth ray when it was the solar plexus. Now humanity has a fourth ray soul, but eventually it will have a second ray soul, and it will be the same group, but a different function within the whole.
So it's very interesting, and that tells also about the higher chakra than only the head center. So when the Shambhala is moving forward, when hierarchy moves
into Shambhala,
like into the state, into Shambhala, and those beings are moving forward. So this is telling about how there are higher chakras than the head center, like in the Laya Yoga, it is.
Yes. On the top of the head and within the head, probably. There's 21 altogether that involve the body in the head and over the head. Now, the whole numerology of the chakras, it's a really deep subject, and we have to learn how to consult the different traditions and be very clear about what we're reading. Right now, it's easy to get confused because they all say something different, so it appears. But we can work through that so all of them contribute to a complete picture. Yeah, so anyway, thank you, Tuya, for that. And what you see here, this is another thing to memorize, friends. The five planetary inlets are cities, and they have rays connected with them. And look at Geneva. Not only is it a second ray, well, you don't see it here, but it's a second ray planetary center, but it's also a second ray personality in the city. So it's got to be a very strong radiation, and probably the hope for the European Union is radiating out from Geneva, I would say. Yeah. Now, look, everybody, this is a fascinating subject. When you start to get into the destiny of the various nations and how they all fit together and all the triangles that are being formed, you're into something of real importance. And we're going to try to study that. Look at these two triangles here. In addition to the one Tuya mentioned, which is the most active, which is basically New York, London, and Geneva, you have two other triangles, London, New York, Darjeeling. Of course, it would make sense because London is so connected with India. And then Tokyo, New York, Geneva. And look at how New York plays a pivotal position in both of those triangles. So right now, New York, with the presence of the United Nations, is really, since the light goes out from the United States, what is to say, what is the motto for the United States? I spread the light, or I something, you know. What is the motto there? Let's see.
I light the way.
That's it. I light the
way. I light
that's
the way.
It. Okay. Right. I light the way. So good. Thank you. So that is really important for the teaching at this time. And New York has to slip into its second-race soul in order to really light the way. The third ray will not do it. And look at the astrological signs that are here as well. There's so much wonderful information, and it all has to be correlated. And we can do that. Studying with Master DK, we can correlate this information so it all really makes sense under the eye of reason and under the eye of pure reason. Thank you. Thank you. Other thoughts or questions? I can go back to where we were. I get so many notes in here that you can't tell where the Tibetan is writing in black and all the rest of the stuff. Anything you would like to, that occurs to you in this or in occultism in general? Because we are citizens, you know. We are citizens of our country. And our country has a causal body. And it has relationships with other countries that are going to be based on soul connection. And we are responsible for helping to build the causal body of our nation. And when the causal body of a nation reaches a certain degree of refinement and capability, there will be a true esoteric school in that nation. And by that, I don't mean the kind of esoteric schools we have now, which are good. They bring us along the way. I mean a real hierarchically supervised esoteric school when the causal body, which we are helping to build, of a nation reaches a certain stage of development. It's a big responsibility. Okay.
I am seeing no hands raised or questions written.
Okay, maybe the material is daunting, okay, but that's okay. It's best to be daunted at first, then to absorb, and then to utilize. I remember when I first started reading The Secret Doctrine. Well, actually, I had a friend who, with The Secret Doctrine, well, he did it with the Bailey books, too. He underlined everything, absolutely everything. He just had a ruler, like so. He considered it all important, but of course, when you do that, nothing is important, or everything is important, I don't know. Here it is, 80 years almost. Yeah, almost 80 years. Or maybe, wait, excuse me, let me add a little better there. No, it's 70 years since the last material was written down by Alice Bailey. The truly reliable material, and not all the, you know, fluff and stuff that we get from many, many other sources. And it's still not assimilated. It's still not really in our hearts and minds. and a synthesis being made of it within ourselves. And that has to be done. It must be done because a new dispensation is coming. So we've got 6 years now. Let's really assimilate this material, correlate it. He says, DK sometimes says, so you see, my brother, how much correlating work has to be done. And that's what we have to do. And that is the function of Mercury, which is the planet which Master DK particularly represents at this time, along with the sign Gemini. But we have to pitch in and do our own correlating work. So we identify the important items, you know, we use the fifth ray, and then we use the fourth ray to interrelate them. And then we use the second ray to make a wholeness out of all of those interrelated items. So ray 5, 4, and 2 are involved in the process. Okay, last chance for any thought that you might have that you would like to express, because, you know, on anything, and relating to occultism, of course, but what doesn't relate to occultism, and or any questions, statements or questions?
There may be a reminder that the United States and Canada go on to daylight savings time this coming Sunday.
Okay, that's actually good because it's going to affect when you tune in. You know, in our broadcasts, for the sake of simplicity, we try to stick with GMT, Universal Time, don't change it, you know. Just like Arizona never changes its time. But you will have to adapt accordingly, okay? So that's good, Michael. Thank you for reminding us of that. Okay, and just have, and look, you know, just have confidence in yourself, because what a human being has done, a human being can do. So, you know, if DK knows all this and can see this wonderfully completed picture that he would just say, I've just given you a tiny bit, he would say, then we can do that too. And we will do that. And Alice Bailey would say, well, look, a lot of people rebel against using their minds when they study occultism. But she says, look, you have to have a well-stocked mind in order to really function in this field. So let's go about the business of developing that well-stocked mind with respect to the teaching, which is so abundant, you know, that he's given us more than we can ever absorb. But let's keep on absorbing, and we will have classes to that effect. You know that in the reappearance of the Christ broadcasts, we are, Tuya is reading the book, The Reappearance of the Christ. We're going through that. In our Destiny of the Nations broadcasts, or our Soul of the Nations broadcast, we are reading the book, The Destiny of the Nations. In our Glamour broadcasts, we are reading Glamour, A World Problem, through and through. So, you know, this is the effort, studying maybe a little bit at a time to really come into a penetrative relationship with that and really absorb. And we can do that, and I think it's very important if we want to play this game of the ageless wisdom in an effective way and help the ageless wisdom guide our service to humanity. I think it's really important. Okay, now, Tuya, would you like to do this meditation that we've, a little bit that we've got here, or what do you think?
Yes, I can do that. One thing what I was thinking, what we should do also sometimes is that to think about why we have been born in certain country. Because DK talks about that in Destiny of the Nations, that there is a soul purpose behind all of us, and the soul needs from body angle to be born to a certain place.
And certain
and
rays,
then,
certain rays, you know, you might say, to round out.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe it is then the rays of the country. Maybe it's the rays of that particular placement of that country, because there are also the aspects of the rays, and then also how these countries will form their relationship with another countries.
Yes,
it is also a very interesting question.
I think, you know, I sometimes say to myself, how did I wind up in Finland? Because I'm here quite a bit of the year. And, you know, in line with what you have said, I think, you know, in my life, the most deficient ray is the seventh ray of order. And maybe of, you know, manifestation in some respects.
Now I have many people witnessing this.
Okay. So
your confession.
My confession. This is a huge seventh ray country. And, you know, it has Capricorn and Aries as the two astrological rulers of soul and personality. Both of them carry the seventh ray. I think the Scandinavian countries, I think also Finland, and Russia, you know, they have the seventh ray soul. So this exposure to the seventh ray, you know, is all, you know, part of the plan when it comes to my own individual psyche. So it's not only, it is where we're born, and it's also where we spend time and what we absorb as the soul seeks to round out the causal body. So true confessions, you know, I need the seventh ray, and here I am. All right.
And that is related to when we think about, or one aspect of that is that the whole humanity is trying to achieve the first initiation. And that's why the body becomes so important, that it is able to carry for the weight of the light of the soul. That's why the bodies has to be also... the physical and then the etheric body has to be in shape, that these energies which are then going to affect all the after the first initiation or during the first initiation. That is how I am thinking, why the disciples during this incarnation certainly, because I think this is the marking point for all of our evolution on Earth so far, because if humanity will not reach the first initiation, what is the destiny then?
Not so good.
The whole hierarchy, yes, the whole hierarchy, as DK says, has been looking for millions of years for these times.
Mm-hmm.
And now the time of the forerunner, we always have to remember it. It is so particular time in the evolution of the soul that we must recognize, all of us, and think really deeply, what is the purpose of our lives this time?
It's so true.
Yeah.
Okay, so here we are with maybe I'll tell you what, this, maybe that's the one. Okay, you can...
Yes, with that we are starting. Yes, I was thinking so too.
A brief form of this meditation, and tonight we'll, you know, do the whole thing.
Yeah, I do quite quickly all of those visualizations, so bear with me. And we start with this, that briefly take few times white light. Breathe in your own rhythm. And then we form a triangle of light between our soul, our head center, and with Master DK. See that triangle of light as a solid triangle of light. The base of the triangle on the mental plane. And then the apex touching the top of your head. through which a stream of light is pouring in, like light orange color. Flooding your whole body, permeating every part of your physical equipment. And this is what DK is asking us to do every morning prior to group meditation. Now holding the consciousness steadily in the mind and not in the head, contact the spiritual triplicity, which is that which hovers over the square and radiates the energy of light into the waiting field of active thought. And now focus on your own triangles. Call upon your triangle crew members by name with love. We hold 3 minutes silence for doing that. Visualize the flow of love and goodwill passing between the members of your triangle or triangles. And now visualize the flow of spiritual light passing between your members of your triangles. Recognize the nature of illumination. We realize that every time when we contact our triangles, the triangles become etherically more living. Let us link our triangles consciously with the global network of golden triangles. And by doing that, we realize that the network of triangles is under the eye of the great Shambhalic triangle, the three Buddhas of activity in Shambhala. We realize that this is the very important realization, because these great beings can energize the triangle network in the times of emergency upon the planet. Ponder that fact, what it means for yourself and for the triangle network. The triangle work is related to the coming science of invocation. So ponder on why it is necessary that every day in our triangle work we are supposed to sound the great invocation. Let us say together the great invocation. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center, which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. With light and love and power, restore the plan on earth. And by sounding the Om, see the global network of golden triangles covering the entire planet. we visualize at least 100,000 living triangles functioning within the square-like etheric body of Earth, transmuting it into triangles. And we visualize the Earth as a sacred planet and humanity redeemed. And we sound three times Om. And we sustain the circulation of love and light flowing through our triangle network. Thank you.
Thank you, Tuya. Okay, friends, tonight at the 6 p.m. GMT time, we'll have the broadcast on triangles, with music, the more complete. And then at 8 o'clock, we will have the Pisces new moon, a solar fire ritual meditation broadcast. So, as you know, it's a meditation. Meditation keeps changing, and the music is there. If you want to join me, it's also on the same station. It's the same link that we use for our broadcasts. So, and then we're continuing with the Ask program this week, and it's on the night schedule or the evening schedule. So thank you very much for your attendance, and open your perception to the noticing of triangles between different beings and different levels of beings, whether they are earthly or solar systemic or cosmic, you know. Just develop that triangular mentality to detect the working out of triangles as we move towards sacredness in our planet. We'll see you this evening, and all the best to you. Lots of love, many blessings, and what do I say? Study hard, meditate deeply, and apply all you know, right? Okay, all the best to you. See you soon. Bye-bye.